This morning, we're going to look at a passage that is a fulfillment of prophecy, and there's a lot of that. And I know sometimes people think, oh, we're going to talk about prophecy, end of the world times, and think that's not what the message is about. But we can't ignore that, the fact that God is telling us in His Word what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to live by. And a lot of that is proof that this is God's Word, is His prophecy fulfilled. And so this morning, we're going to look at a prophecy that was from Isaiah and again from Malachi that was talking about John the Baptist. And Isaiah told that there would be one that would come before the Messiah, and he would be that voice of one calling in the wilderness. And Zechariah, his father, was told that he would come with the Spirit and the power of Elijah. And we know that was the prophecy fulfilled in John the Baptist. But I want us to look at one part that really stood out in my mind this week as I'm beginning to read through this and study and pray and go over it. Let's just go ahead and read the passage. It's not real long this morning, but there is so much, I think, that God has for us. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, so if you would turn there. And this is Mark's version of what took place. Verse 1, it says, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and he preached, saying, 'There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" Let's pray. Father God, right now we just lift up your word. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us in every way. Lord, but more than anything, that you'd speak to us on an individual basis. Lord, that we would be what you desire us to be, that we would understand who you are and what you've done and how we can glorify you. Teach us through your word. Use us in your kingdom and be glorified in all that is done. God, I just lift this time to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this passage, it talks in verse 2 there. It says it was written by the prophets, and he said, "Behold, I send my messenger before you." A messenger back in those times, I want us to discuss what a messenger was back in biblical times, in Old Testament times. A messenger, if there was going to be a king or a dignitary of some kind, and he was going to go to a village, they would send a messenger ahead of him, and that messenger would be responsible for telling people, "Hey, your streets have a lot of toe holes in them. You know, you need to get the town presentable for this king that is coming, for this dignitary that's coming. You need to get your town presentable." And so he would go as a messenger, and he wouldn't just go down one street and tell people, "Hey, this is the street he's probably going to walk down. You need to get everything ready here." He would go to as many people as he could, and he would tell them to make themselves presentable, fix whatever needed to be fixed, make things presentable. And you know, when you know that you have company coming over, I'm going to get myself in trouble here. When you know you have company coming over, it's like, go clean the bathroom, go do this, get this. You want to make your house as presentable as possible. Very seldom is that told by the husband. I'm just throwing that out there. Now, it may be different at your house, but I've come to know that when we know we're going to have somebody come over, I know that there might she doesn't even need to send a messenger anymore. That I know my responsibility to get the house ready for that person or that guest that's coming over. And so I try to do my job, because if I don't, she's going to come along and do it behind me, and then I'm going to be in trouble. But the thing is, when this messenger would come into the town, it would be that same type of way. They wanted to get the town presentable for this dignitary or this king that was coming, so that when they came, that they wouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed because, you know, their town was a mess. Their village was a mess. And so that was part of the purpose for this messenger as they would go. And this messenger, he would come and he would just give people an opportunity. Hey, within a few days, this dignitary is coming. I'm here to let you know that that's what's happening. And so he would come and he wouldn't talk about himself. He wouldn't say, I need this ready for me. I don't need this ready for the entourage. It's all about that one dignitary. And so he would present it to the town that that's exactly how his job. And so as we look at that as what a messenger truly was, that gives us a more of an insight maybe into John the Baptist. Because he had basically the same four characteristics that he was to do. He was to look at this town, as he come in, he was sent with the authority. His authority, we know, it come from the angel of the Lord told him. Isaiah prophesied. Gabriel told his father. He was sent with authority to go and to let people know that there was one coming. So he had a special authority. And if we're going to look at the messenger that John the Baptist was, honestly, we've got to stop and we've got to say, we're messengers too. If we've accepted Christ as our personal Savior, then in that call, we are messengers today. The messenger that went into that town, he was sent by that dignitary to go. He had a responsibility. John the Baptist was sent by God to prepare the way for the Lord, because the Messiah was coming. You and I, if we're Christians, then we are called to be messengers as well. And not just messengers from the fact that Jesus Christ came as the Messiah, but we are to be messengers to the people that are out there that don't know He's coming again. They don't know that He's out there. They don't know that He's coming back. And so we've been sent. We can look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 7. It says, as you go, preach the gospel, declare the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, the Great Commission. We know that it tells us that we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and that He will always be with us. We know that it tells us that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We have a job as messengers to tell people that there's one coming. And so, the same way John was sent with special authority, you've been sent. John, if we look at the next thing about John, not only was he sent, but man, he was different. John was different. He's this man, and he's living out in the wilderness, for one thing, living out by the Jordan River, baptizing people. But he's dressed in a cloth of camel hair, very coarse, very uncomfortable, very warm, obviously, with just a leather belt around his waist. And it tells us that he did not drink strong wine, but he ate locusts and honey. So he had separated himself, not just in the way he looks, but in the way he lived. in what he took in and what he said. He was different than anybody else. This was not the type of person that was your normal religious speaker of the day. When they would have a time that they were teaching in the synagogue, it would be somebody dressed really nice. Somebody that looked really good. But unfortunately, those people that were dressed really nice and looked really good weren't living what God had called them to live. But John, not only did he look different and was his life different, Gabriel told Zechariah, his father, said, he's going to be filled with the Spirit from on high. He's going to come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. So not only was he looking different, he was different from the inside out. And for you and I, as messengers, yeah, we've been sent, but we're also supposed to be different. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the light in the darkness. We're supposed to be recognized by the love inside us that they will know we are Christians because of that love. We are supposed to be different because when I accept Christ as my personal Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live within me. And there is no way that if the Holy Spirit is living in me and controlling my life, that I'm going to be the same as the world. There are people in the world that are very nice people, very good people. But they're good people based on decisions of this is good and this is bad. I'm choosing good because of the consequences that come with it. We are supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. That's why we do what we do. We are supposed to be different. People, they came to John. Out in the wilderness, they came because there was something different about him. And he had this message. He looked different. He sounded different. He was different. Sometimes it's so sad that when people see me, they don't see a difference. They see a good guy, but they don't see Jesus. They don't see the power of the Holy Spirit in control of my life because I quench that. We are called to be different. We are called to be messengers. Next, we look at John, and he's sent, and he's different. And this next one, he is so bold. Man, if you go over into Luke, he calls the Pharisees and the Sadducees a brood of vipers. Now, man, that probably didn't go over very good. You know, when you walk up to somebody to witness to them, and you start off by calling them, you brood of vipers, why are you here? You know, if I met you guys at the door, and you come in and it's somebody I didn't know, I said, well, you brood of vipers, why are you here? They're probably not going to stay very long. But that's kind of that's how John met these Pharisees and these Sadducees, because he knew who they were. He knew the lifestyle. And they were just coming just to kind of see what was going on. But he did something, and this is sometimes where it separates us from him. Not that it should, but it does. He told them what they needed to hear, even though they didn't want to hear it. And there's so many times that you and I are talking to people in the world, and they're bragging about some things that they're doing or a lifestyle that they've chosen, and they're standing up for it. And I need to be bold. Man, John was as bold as you can get by telling the religious leaders, you're nothing but a snake in the grass. Why was he so? How could he be so bold? By the power of the Spirit within him. It's the same Spirit we have, but we're not that bold. How could he be so bold? Because he believed everything he was saying. Well, I believe everything I say. I just don't say it very much. How could he be so bold? Other than he knew they needed to hear what he had to say. And he was willing to say it, even though they didn't want to hear it. That's where it separates me from him sometimes. because I want to tell them, but I know they're going to get frustrated. I know they're going to throw a fit. You see these things on TV all the time or on the internet where somebody will say something and they'll blow up in their face and they'll scream at them and they're, I don't want that. So do I not want that confrontation more so than I don't want them to die and go to hell? It weighs out by which I do, honestly. If I'm willing to, well, I would rather not have the confrontation, so I'm not going to say anything, and maybe someday later somebody else will give them a chance. Somebody else will say something. I've been called to be a messenger. You've been called to be a messenger. We're sent. We're different. We need to be bold. But we're not. And that's why the world is where it's at. But if we believe what we say we believe, that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, that He is the Son of God, if I believe that, and I understand that not only is He the Son of God, but the God of is just, and He is going to come back and receive Christians. And a lot of times, I'm going to throw this in here, it's not really in my notes, which half of this is not in my notes, but so many times we want to share the gospel, and our version of the gospel is this: God loves you and has great plans for you. And that's all true. But we leave out the balancing part of that. Sometimes we leave it out because we don't want to try to scare people. Because the balancing part of God loves you is God is just and has to judge sin. We don't want to say that part because it's going to upset people. We don't want to say that part because, well, then if they accept Christ, they're only coming because they're scared of hell. We want them to come to know Jesus Christ for who He is, for the love that He has given to us. And so we leave off that other part. But we are to be bold in the fact that they need to hear both sides. They need to understand that God is just and there's judgment for wrong. I sin, I deserve death. But my way out is the grace of God that Jesus took my sin. But I can't just take the love of God and ignore the fact that He took my sin. That He took my judgment. We need to be bold. John was those three things. We are called to be those three things. But I like this last one. John's message was only about Jesus. Man, there's one coming. There's one coming after me. He's greater than I. I'm not even worthy to untie His sandals. The lowest servant in the house, that was his responsibility. The lowest servant, the lowest slave was the one that was to untie the master's sandals. John, who Jesus says is one of the greatest men to ever live, sees himself as not even worthy to be that lowest slave for the master. It's not about him. It's about there's one coming. That one that's coming. You need to be ready for Him. You need to repent and be ready for Him. That was John's message. It was all about Jesus. It wasn't come out to the river and follow me and I'll baptize you. No, that's not what it was about. It was come and get ready for the one that's coming. That was his message. Today, you and I have that same message. But too many churches make it about them. It's not about us. It's about Jesus. It's about we do not deserve to even be in His presence, but by the grace of God, He allows us to do that. By the grace of God, He gives us the opportunity to become children of God and to spend eternity with Him. message we have to share is not about us. It's about the one that's coming, and people need to be ready. How do you get ready? For us as Christians, this message is to say, are you a messenger? That's my question to you. Are you a messenger? You know you've been sent. You know you're supposed to be different. You know you're supposed to be bold. And you can know all of those things. But if you're not sharing this message, that there's one coming, and we need to be ready for Him. If you're not sharing that message, then you're not a messenger. And if you're not a messenger, what do we do? If we don't have someone coming to tell us that the dignitary is coming, the company is coming to the house, if we don't have somebody to tell us that that's going to take place, then am I going to be ready? No. If I'm not being the messenger I'm supposed to be, how does this message fit me? John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance. Well, I've already accepted Christ. I don't need to repent. Yes, you do. Because every one of us fail. I fail at being a messenger every day. And I need to repent of that sin. Well, Pastor, it's surely not a sin just because I didn't speak up. Had John the Baptist came and all these people came out to him in the wilderness and he didn't say a word to them, would he have fulfilled his job? Would more people have kept coming? No. The reason they started coming, I don't know who the first person was that came out and listened to him. I don't know how many there were, 5, 10, 20. I don't know how many was in the first group that came out and listened to him. But had he not told them, word would not have got back to town. Hey, there's this man out there that's different. And he's sharing a message about one that's coming. Had they not heard, had he not told that first group, then that first group probably wouldn't have ever went back and told even the Pharisees and the Sadducees that questioned and went out to just see what's going on. And if you and I, I'm just going to put this on me, if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do as a messenger, then how can somebody sitting here in the front row go to town and say, hey, I just heard about somebody that's coming. I just heard about the fact that I need to repent. I just heard about the fact that God loves me. If I don't tell them, how can they go back and tell their family? How can they go tell their friends? If I'm not doing my job as a messenger, then I'm failing the one who sent me. But you know what? Get this. He had a real simple message, and when people came out, he told them the message. And you know, it sounds like in this verse, it says, then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized. When you break that down to the original Greek, that word all is not really there. Because not everybody in Judea was out there. And not everyone that came out there, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they weren't baptized by him. And so even though the best man that Jesus claims is one of the best men to ever live, there's no other like him. He came. He knew he was sent. He was filled. He was bold. He was preaching that Jesus was coming. And people still didn't listen. Don't ever judge yourself by the fact that, well, you know, I've told people, but they just don't seem to listen. That's not your responsibility. John told everybody that came out to him, but not everybody that came out listened. But at least he told them. Everybody that I tell is not going to listen. But I should still tell them. That's what it's about to be the messenger. Behold, listen up. I'm sending before you a messenger. What makes a good messenger? These things? Yeah, obviously. But what really makes a good messenger is the great message. That's what it's all about. It's not about my presentation. It's not about how I dress. It's not about where I go. It's about my message. And that's what it comes down to for all of us today, is to let that message sink in. Because if I let it sink in, even though I'm supposed to be a messenger already, when I focus on the message that God loves me so much, God loves this world so much that He sent His Son to die on the cross. That's my message. And that He's coming back to take me to be with Him forever. That's my message. And the message is also for those that refuse and reject Him. They stand condemned already. That's the message. That's what it's all about. You and I just have to share the message. The responsibility is not ours. And when I understand, when I focus on the fact that that message is from the God of creation, that He loves me. So many times we read the idea, we tell the fact, the story, the gospel, and we say that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Man, everybody wants to believe that. There are a lot of people that do believe that. But if you don't believe the pronouns, that it's for you. It's for us. Then it just makes it unpersonal. It's just for the world. No, it's for you personally that Jesus died. It needs to be personal. Understand that the gospel is personal. From the one God of the universe, through His only begotten Son, to you, to me, as individuals. That's the message. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, that message is to you. Understand that message that He loves you is for you. If there was nobody else, He would have still done it. It's for you. And I know a lot of my preaching classes used to say, well, you know, you got to be real careful when you go this way because you don't want to try to scare them into heaven. I don't think you can scare a person into heaven. You can scare them into coming down the aisle. You can scare them into saying a prayer. But it comes down to loving Jesus, accepting Him personally. But you still need to understand that it's scary if you don't. But that's not why you make the decision. You make the decision based on the fact that Jesus loves you. And that's as simple a message as it ever gets. And as a messenger, you and I need to make sure we're sharing that. No matter what their response, you've been sent. You have to be different. You have to be bold. But more importantly, you have to share this message that it's all about Jesus. And don't ever go out there and say, oh, we've got a great church up here on top of the hill at First Southern Baptist Church, because we don't. We have a great God. And that's what makes the difference. It's not about us. It's about the message that we're supposed to share. It's about loving Jesus because He first loved us. That's what we're supposed to do, is just love Him back. And if you truly love Him back, you will want those people that you love to know Him. And if you love Him the way you're supposed to, they will see that. So I'm going to close with this. Today you're either a messenger or you're the one who needs the message. But we all need to repent, because none of us are the messenger we should be. And if we're not a messenger, then we're still waiting on the message. Today's the day that this message is for you. And the only way we can get to be where we're supposed to be is to repent. That means to turn from my life that's focused on me, if that's what's causing me not to be a good messenger, or if that's what's causing me not to surrender my life to Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Either way, I need to repent and turn from me and turn to God. A lot of people want to just stop doing the bad things. That's only half of repentance. To go this way and to turn and go towards something else. That's the translation for repentance. I'm going towards self, and I have to turn away from my sin and self and turn to the God that loves me. You can't stop halfway through the turn and just say, well, I'm not sinning anymore. You still have to turn to the God that loves you. That's the message. So be a messenger. Repent. If you don't know Him, repent. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before You now. Thank You for all that You do. But most importantly, God, I thank You for loving me. Lord, I know I don't deserve it. I know I'm so unworthy. But God, You chose to love us. Lord, open our eyes that we would see that. Lord, help us to love who You love and hate what You hate. God, we lift our hearts to You that we would be what You desire. That we would be ready when You come for us. In Your name we pray. Amen.